Well, as we turn our attention to the preaching of God's Word, again, I want to ask you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. I'll be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. 1 John 2:12-14. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 1302. Again, hear now the word of the living God. This is 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. May the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of his word. As we look at these verses before us, in the final phrase of verse 13 and then into verse 14, what I read here in the ESV is, I write to you, children, I write to you, fathers, I write to you, young men. In the original language, we could look at that and it could be translated, I have written. I have written to you, children, I have written to you, fathers, I have written to you, young men. Now, as we consider that, you know, I write or written, you know, what is the point? Well, in these verses, what the Apostle John is doing fits within his overall theme of this letter, which is given to us in chapter 5, verse 13, where he's writing this letter to believers to assure them that if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have eternal life. It reminds me of how the Apostle Paul elsewhere has said to those he was writing to that, you know, I've taught you about these things, I've written to them before, and I don't mind writing them again to teach you once more. What the Apostle John here is doing is he's relating something on. He's writing to them again, but it's also something that he has written to them, that he has taught them. He's re-emphasizing something that they have been taught by him, but yet he is also doing it again. And it brings to mind the fact that one of the things that God calls us to do throughout the scriptures, is to remember. To remember. Remember my law. Remember what I've done. Last week we celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and the Lord Jesus said, you will do this as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You do this in remembrance of me. We're called to remember the Lord. We're called to remember his love. We're called to remember what he has done. And so as John here, he is writing to them, but he has also written to them, reminding them of these things. It's a call for us, brothers and sisters, to remember as well. It's a call for us to remember that in Christ, we are children of the Most High God. And we are victorious over the evil one. That is the central theme, that is the central thrust and application that John is giving to us from these verses. That you and I, if we are in Christ, we are children of God. And we are victorious over the evil one. We'll be looking at this application in 3 points. First of all, John writes to us as children. In verse 12 and 13, I am writing to you, little children. And then the last part of verse 13, I write to you, children. Now this term, little children in children, that They parallel one another, and it's referring to the same thing. They're terms of endearment as John is writing to these Christians. They are his beloved. They are his, in the sense, little children in the faith. But it also references a point of those who might be young in their faith. And these two parallel phrases can give great encouragement to those who might be baby Christians, who might be young in their faith. The first encouragement that is given is that they are forgiven. They are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. This word here, forgiven, is a word in a tense called the perfect. And just to, you know, very quickly cover that, it's what a perfect is it's an action that has happened in the past but continues to have an effect here and now. That's different than an action that's happened in the past but just kind of remains there and really has no bearing on your life right now. You know, those of you who have been among us for many years, you've heard me talk about how I've broken a few bones in my day and age. And one broken bone, I still feel the effects of it. You know, I'll show you again. You know, I can rotate my hands, and then my right hand stops, my left hand keeps going. There's something in these bones here that is off, not quite right. So I could use the term broken in the perfect sense where I broke my bone at one point, but I'm still feeling the effects of it. Whereas, as a small child, I lost a tooth. Oh well. Not really experiencing the effects of that particular action of losing my tooth. Because a new one grew in, and I don't miss it at all. My mom might have kept it back in home, but oh well. We are forgiven. It is something that has been done in the past that continues to have an effect on us here. It continues to bear fruit in our lives. And this is for the young in the faith. And it's for the sake of his name. I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. This is when the apostles Peter and John are before the council in trial for preaching about the name of Jesus. And Peter, in verse 8 of chapter 4 in Acts, we read, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to you all, to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" John says, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." Paul says elsewhere in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There is no name under heaven given, no other name given by which we must be saved. And those who are young in the faith, if they believe by God's grace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, what John is saying to them is that they are forgiven. They have been forgiven for his name's sake. And not only that, in the parallel phrase, "I write to you, children," or "I have written to you, children, because you know the Father." This again, this word "know" is also in the perfect. Something that has happened in the past but continues to have an effect in their life. They know the Father. They know him. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17. Actually, beginning in verse 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 17. "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Father, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no longer enemies of God, but we are children. We can cry out, Abba, Father. These two parallel phrases that John writes to little children and to children, those who are probably young in the faith, are of a great encouragement to them because they are forgiven in Christ. And God is their Father. They know him. And what this means for us, brothers and sisters, is that a perfect faith is not required for salvation. A perfect faith is not required for our salvation. And what I mean by that is Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who is working in us, causing us to grow, causing us to flourish. In the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, even though, as he says, it might be smaller than a grain of mustard seed, it is still enough for entrance in the kingdom of heaven. For when he comes again, at that point, our faith will be perfected. As Jesus, in his own earthly ministry, was confronted by a man whose son was being oppressed by demons. And that man said to Jesus, basically, if you can, do this. And Jesus' response was, if I'm able? And the man's response was what? He says, I believe. Help my unbelief. Brothers and sisters, we all have times where we seem like we might be young in the faith, might be children in the faith, where our faith is struggling, where we feel like we don't have enough strength to believe. And the encouragement that John is giving us here is that even if we're young in the faith, even if we're children in the faith, even if our faith is small and weak, our Lord Jesus Christ will not bruise a crushed reed. He will not extinguish a flickering flame. He will keep it. He will hold it fast. And it will grow and flourish. So let us first of all remember that we are children of the Most High God. Secondly, John writes to us as fathers. In verses 13 and 14, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And then he repeats that, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Again, this know here is in the perfect. Something that has happened in the past, but continues to have an effect. And so we ask, who is that one that is from the beginning? Is he speaking of Christ or of God the Father? Well, he's speaking of both. In John chapter 8, verse 58, there Jesus says to the crowd around him, before Abraham was, I am. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And then if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. Here we read, when Jesus had spoken these words, when he had given instruction, really his final instruction to his disciples before he was betrayed, he then prays to his Father. We read, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Our Lord Jesus Christ here prays in his opening of his prayer. He says, what does it mean to have eternal life? Eternal life, having eternal life, as Jesus sums it up in this prayer, is to know God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's what John is reminding us of in his letter. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. He's giving them encouragement that they have eternal life because they know God. So what makes them fathers? What makes them fathers? Well, it's those whose knowledge of God has deepened and grown, whose faith is strengthening and growing. We shouldn't look to those who have, you know, gray hair, men and women, as are necessarily mothers or fathers. There may be those with gray hair that we come across in our Christian life that would be in the category of the little children or the children in the faith. Or maybe even later, the third one category, the young in the faith. And we also shouldn't look at those in the prime of their life and their youthly vigor as necessarily those who wouldn't be mature. Because that's what's being referenced here. The fathers, or we could also add mothers in the faith here, is referring to those who are mature in their faith. Through the study of the Word, they have grown in their knowledge and understanding of who God is and what he has done. But not just the study of the Word, but in their own life experiences, they have come to understand and grow closer to their Father. When we endure hardship, when we endure the loss of a job, when we endure health difficulties and struggles and diagnoses that are difficult and hard to understand, these issues and points in our life are a means through which God draws us closer to himself. Where we turn to him in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those hardships. Like Job, who was stripped of all comforts of this life, it is to draw us more to find our comfort and assurance in him alone. It is to strengthen, it is to deepen our faith in him. Because we have known him who is from the beginning. God never had a beginning. He never started. There's never a time where we can go back and say, well, God began here and then he created everything. He's always been. He's always existed. He has always been there. He is life itself. Brothers and sisters, if by his grace you have even a small faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have known him who is from the beginning. And this brings us to our third point. John writes to us as young men. In the third parallel phrase that he has, I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, this word that we have here that is translated in verse 13 as overcome, it can also be translated as conquered. And again, you know, if we're having a back and forth here and ask you, what tense does this verb in? It's in the perfect, is how you would all respond. That's what John has been talking about here. These truths that we have as God's people. We are forgiven. Something that happened in the past that continues to have an effect in our lives. We know God. Something that happened in the past that continues to have an effect in our life. We have overcome. We have conquered. It is something that has happened in the past. We have overcome the evil one. We have conquered him. It is not just something that is yet to come. It is something that happened long ago. 2,000 years ago, in fact. As Christ gave his life and shed his blood on the cross for you and for me, we have victory. You know, there was one, I forget his name, but there was one pastor that I heard referenced where he was talking about the parable of the prodigal son. And his response and to his congregation, because there's nothing in the prodigal son that shows on the surface of it a suffering that God endured or a humiliation that God would endure as the father comes running to his son to bring him home as he returns. And this pastor said to his congregation, finally, we can take a dead man off a cross. Preaching the gospel. Can we take a dead man off the cross? Is Jesus' sacrifice meaningless in faith? In our faith? Is it just something that, some bad event that happened? No, it is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Just through his shed blood that we have salvation. And not just his shed blood, but the fact that he burst from the grave and he rose again. In this work of Christ, we are conquerors. The evil one cannot overpower us. He cannot have the final victory. He may win a few battles here and there, brothers and sisters. He may knock us down from time to time, but we are conquerors in Jesus Christ. And he has been defeated. And that victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his victory over our sin and our death, here John is reminding us we are victorious. Now, this strength that he references here in verse 14, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You know, this strength that we have is not a strength that we possess in and of ourselves. It is an alien strength and is given to us through his word. Now, Jesus Christ himself in the Gospel of John is called what? The Word. It is through the Word of God that we have this victory. It is through the Word of God written and given to us that we continue to see that victory bear fruit in our lives. And that is what John is talking about. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 15 says, if you don't abide in me and my word doesn't abide in you, you can do nothing. You're not going to bear any fruit. And in Psalm 119, verse 9, the question is asked, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. God's word abiding. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. It's that weapon that we have been given to combat the evil one in his temptations. And in Ephesians 5, 18, we are called to not be, Paul uses, he contrasts being drunk. He says, don't be drunk, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? It's through these psalms that we have been given, in the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of the book of Psalms. And what these two things put together, the sword of the Spirit, this word of God, with the word of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit abiding in us and us being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is through this word. The Holy Spirit doesn't work apart from this truth. And what he does is he takes this word that he moved men to write ages ago. He takes this truth, he uses it as a sword to cut us deeply, but also to heal us, to give us strength, to give us encouragement. It is through the meditation and the study of this word that the Holy Spirit, by his grace, will work in us, giving us strength to endure, and that we will see the victory that we have in Christ, the conquering that we have of the evil one, bear fruit in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember where our strength lies. We need to remember that we're children of the Most High God. We need to remember that we know him who is from the beginning, and we need to remember where our strength lies in our faith. It is through the Holy Spirit's work, through his abiding word in us. Now, as we draw this to a close, we need to remember, we shouldn't look at ourselves and think, oh, well, I wonder which category I fit into. And we especially shouldn't look around and think, well, I think they're maybe a child, or they're a father, or they're a young man. We all fit into these categories in some way, shape, or form. Maybe in the same day, you might feel at one point as a child of the faith, one point a father, and one point a young man, and then back to being a child again. The point is, what John is talking to us about is the fact that we all, as children of the Most High God, are his. We are his children. And we are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, remember that in Christ, you are children of the Most High God, and you are victorious over the evil one. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank you for working in us by your Holy Spirit, even a small faith. Because, Lord, even if we are young in the faith, we are still your children. As a small infant is still a child of the household and a child in the family, so too those who might be young spiritually and young in the faith are full children in your home. We pray, Lord, that we would all grow to maturity in the faith, that we would all grow through your word and through the providences that you bring into our life, that we would come to a greater knowledge and understanding of who you are, as we have known you who was from before the beginning. And Father, may that victory that we have won in Christ, the conquering that we have of the evil one, may that fruit be seen in our life more and more each day. And may you, Father, hold us tight as we are your children. May the victory you have won for us be seen in our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.